Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
And now, back to the man who humbly and graciously accepted the 2002 Small Business Journalist of the Year Award.
Who's the man? Who's the man?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. Thanks for hanging around with me. You're listening to the Small Business Network, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Alan Robertson and Dean Schroeder are here, too. Alan teaches at the Eisenberg School of Management at the University of Massachusetts. He's an award-winning author, an educator, and a consultant. Dean Schroeder is spent 10 years in industry before becoming an academician. He currently teaches at the University of Valparaiso University. Both of them are the co-authors of Ideas Are Free, one of my favorite books, and they're here to talk to us right now. Hi, Alan.
Hello.
It's good to have you back. Hi, Dean.
Howdy. Nice to be here.
It's good to have you guys back.
Thank you.
One of the things that my audience knows about, and I talk about it on the show, I talk about it in my writing, I talk about it whenever I speak. When anybody will, if they slow down on a street corner to let me say it, I'll talk to them about this. And that is that, and I've been saying this since the 20th century. I've been saying that the 21st century is a century, it's going to be, and it now is, the century of the entrepreneur. That the 20th century was a century of the major corporation where employees did what they were told. The century of the entrepreneur is not about ownership. It's about initiative. Who takes the initiative? Who has the ability, the authority, and the responsibility to take initiative and they make things happen? And I believe that the century of entrepreneur, that movement has democratized initiative in the marketplace. And one of the reasons I like your books, guys, is because you can't do what I just said if your people don't believe that their ideas are important in the organization. I'll let you guys talk about that for a minute.
Well, I remember early on in the Ideas Are Free study, you know, there were several hundred companies involved, but way back in the beginning, it was one of the first companies in Japan that we were studying, where they were getting lots and lots of ideas, and they'd really created the kind of company I think you envision, which is, you know, a company where everybody's entrepreneurial. It's not just one guy who has one idea and then they run with it. You need constant ideas. Mm-hmm. This we remarked on the initiative that was taken at workplace and in the workplace and the competitive advantage that was resulted. And this manager turned to us and said, you know, effective management is really putting democracy into the workplace. That's what it's all about,
mm-hmm.
and I think that's kind of what you're talking about.
The democratization of taking initiative.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you need everybody involved. The old style of management is like the dictatorship,
mm-hmm.
you know, where one person does all the thinking and everybody else just shuts up and follow orders.
That's the dominator model.
Exactly. And, you know, if you use the political analogy here, when you democratize the workplace and everybody gives in, you know, lots of ideas. In our Ideas Are Free study, we found some companies where people were giving in, the average employee was giving in two used ideas per week.
Hmm.
And that's an environment which is totally different from the sort of top-down model.
Now, when you say two used ideas, you mean ideas that they're using that are being successful.
Yeah, and you know, exactly. And, you know, there was an article in the New York Times about one of our Ideas Are Free companies. We have to get back and talk to these guys. American Airlines, which just announced like 3 weeks ago, at least publicly, that their strategy for competing in this next, you know, in the upcoming years of air travel in their environment is going after employee ideas. And the article in the New York Times had a story about a flight attendant who saved 11% of fuel consumption on long-haul runs by pointing out that the airline was letting passengers choose their own seats, and most of them picked up front. And so the airplanes were flying around with their noses down with a lot of drag.
Ah.
Why not put people in the back? Because he was an amateur drag racer on weekends. And he said, in the drag racing, you got to level it out so the thing will go well.
You know, Dean, when I get on a plane, I want to go to the back. You know why?
Why's that?
I want to be the last one at the scene of the crash.
Well, I think what Alan's pointing out is an interesting thing. Is if you're going to have an entrepreneurial organization that is successful. You can't rely on the entrepreneurial initiatives of a single person. It's got to basically tap everybody's ideas. If you think about it, once an entrepreneurial effort is successful, what happens is that entrepreneur who used to be in touch with what was going on, and that's where he or she got the ideas, and now all of a sudden they're caught in more administration, more management, and the people that are actually doing the work and in touch are those frontline workers.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the guys that see things and come up with ideas and solutions and deal with customers that the managers can't. And so they're the real source of competitive advantage.
Dean and Alan, hold on. We're going to take a quick break, folks. It's 20 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. And Alan and Dean's book is called Ideas Are Free. And we're going to talk about this some more right after these messages. Stay with us.
She's got it. Yeah, baby, she. When the night has come and the land is dark and the moon is the only light we'll see.
We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friends Alan Robinson and Dean Schroeder, the authors of Ideas Are Free. Dean, one of the things that you touched on a minute ago, I think it was you that said this, was about this thing about where our employees get their information and their marching orders, so to speak. I think I'm probably a little older than you guys. I remember when I worked for a couple of major corporations in my early days, my early career. And basically at the beginning of the year, they told me how we were going to operate our business that year. And they gave me a book and a price list and a product list and our strategy. And we'd come back and we'd check our position every month. And maybe during the year sometime they would tell me a couple of things that I needed to know. But basically those were my marching orders for the next year. And whatever I needed, whatever information I needed, I got from the company. In the 21st century, our employees don't have to wait on us to give them everything they need. They can find it other places, can't they?
Well, not only don't they have to wait, they can't wait.
That's right.
In this day and age, if you're trying to do an annual plan, by the time you put it in paper, it's outdated.
Mm-hmm.
Markets have changed, conditions have changed. Now, it doesn't mean you don't plan. Planning is as important as ever, but it's got to be planned in a way that everybody understands the direction the company is going and what's important. And then when it comes to getting information and constantly updating it, I mean, you've got the Internet and all this sort of stuff, which is a huge democratization,
mm-hmm.
as Alan was saying, a democratization of information. You go out and you grab it as you need it. You don't need big company staffs necessarily to just focus and they're the god anymore. So that's where the ideas are important, because that's what allows you to respond to changes fast and carry through on what's needed.
Mm-hmm. Well, Alan, how do we get our – I don't think we have as much of a challenge getting our people to have ideas and to share these ideas as we have a challenge in getting us as the managers and the owners – to slow down enough and to recognize that these people are a wellspring of ideas and to get those ideas out of their heads and into practice.
That's exactly right. In fact, one of the early problems that companies face when they start up an idea system is they get what we call a surge in ideas. I've seen this in every single company that I've helped start up an idea system, that the employees have tons and tons and tons of ideas because management hasn't been listening to them for so long. So you're absolutely right that the bottleneck is in management. And basically what we advise and what we noticed in all of our Ideas Are Free companies is that companies didn't just say to employees, we expect ideas from you. They held their managers. They said, we don't consider you to be an effective manager unless you are able to get to produce lots of ideas from the people who work for you. And that completely changes the equation. One of the companies in our study was the Toyota's newest generation facility in the world. You know, they're moving into their next generation of human resource management. And they have, from when they hire new managers there, they have a no. They have two no-go questions, and one of them has to do with ideas. They say, "Please tell us in your previous management position at your the other company about a change that you know you implemented in your group." And if the person starts to talk about a change that they themselves initiated, mm-hmm. like it was my idea to move this around and do this,
self-referential,
then they're out. But if they say they start talking about an idea that someone in their group came up with that they enabled, they championed, they encouraged, they got everybody involved with, then they move on to the next stage.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Toyota, which is one of the best companies we saw in the Ideas of Free Study, is selecting managers who have a proven track record of listening to employees because they know what it does for them. And I think that's the first step you got to put in place.
Well, Dean, one of the things that it seems to me where we are from a generational standpoint here on the threshold of the 21st century, I do believe that the 21st century is the century of the entrepreneur. However, I know that we have to move farther down the road to really see this as much as we need to. And that gets us farther away from the dominator model and more towards the partnership model of management. There's still a lot of old guys out there like me who haven't, some of them haven't yet made the transition from the old model to the new model. They're still trying to manage people. Maybe they're especially in small business, they're the owners of these companies. And they're trying to manage their people. The marketplace and their people have moved on, but they may not have moved on. What can we say to those guys to get them, you know, sort of into the 21st century?
Well, the interesting thing about these guys is they're also the ones that are most concerned about their jobs. If you look at what the type of people that are being let out of work, And a lot of people in their 50s, early 60s, who still have some of their career left, are finding themselves in tough positions, and they've got to change. Now, the one thing you have to get through to these folks is it's not like switching on a light. You can't flip it around that fast. While it happens fast, it's something that's gradual. Your employees have to develop trust in you. And the amazing thing about it is these people are often stressed out, and this is the biggest stress reliever you can have. Because all of a sudden, a lot of the fires that you're putting out are never get to you because the frontline employees solve them when they're just smoldering because they pick mm-hmm. them up on them much earlier and they don't let them spread. But if they're afraid to say anything because they're going against your instructions, then it's going to grow into a forest fire.
Right. The key, ladies and gentlemen, is to get your organization to go from the old model that you may have to the new model where ideas are free-flowing without creating a casualty list. And we're going to get Dean and Alan to help us with that right after these messages. The book is called Ideas Are Free, wherever books are sold. Ten Tales, stay with us. We'll be right back. Back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for being part of our day. Alan Robinson and Dean Schroeder are our guests, ladies and gentlemen. They're the co-authors of Ideas Are Free. It's based on a study that they conducted of a number of different companies around the world, some of them large companies, some of them small companies, and to find out how they were getting done, how they were doing what they were doing. And I really believe you can get some great ideas out of this book on how to make sure that your company is mining the best ideas out of your employees. And I still say, Alan, that the problem is if you said to me, okay, Jim, you can only fix one thing, where would you go? I'd go to management. I wouldn't go to the people. The people have the ideas. They're excited about they'd love to be able to share their ideas. Some of them are doing it. But here's one of the things that I worry about. And what I talk about in some of my speeches, guys, is what one thing that must be done in an entrepreneurial organization where ideas are actually free-flowing, and that is this. Whenever a mistake is made, when someone takes initiative, instead of saying you're fired or some other kind of chastising or whatever, the management has to be able to say this. What did we learn?
Absolutely. You look at any creative problem-solving method, Six Sigma, whatever it is, it all starts with a problem. And of course, you know, mistakes are in response. When you make a mistake, you either have created a further problem or you've, you know, tackled an existing problem and brought it to light. You just can't get good ideas if you jump on people for mistakes. Mm-hmm. So you're absolutely right with that.
Can I add a little bit to that?
Absolutely, Dean.
Think about it this way. You paid the tuition of this person to learn. Now we're going to fire the person that learned the lesson,
right,
and put in charge somebody who after we have to pay again. The other thing is everybody's going to be watching that, and the lesson they're going to take is don't make mistakes, but the other lesson is make sure you don't take any chances.
Right.
Yep. And so what you end up with.
And that's in the 21st century. You might could have gotten away with that 100 years ago, but not this century.
You got to be moving fast, and that means making mistakes.
Well, and the key to this, you know, when I've used this analogy before on the show, when I was learning how to fly an airplane on instruments, my instructor told me something that was very important, and it's key in business too. He said, flying on instruments is making lots of little bitty corrections. He says if you wait too long to make a correction, you make a big correction, and then you fly through your vector, and you have to come back, and you have to make you wind up oscillating. So to me, it seems that if you give your people the authority to take initiative and to fail, as long as if you do it often enough, you're going to make smaller failures. You're going to have smaller failures.
Sure, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say that, you know, one of the things that we discovered, there's also some issues in the process here of how you listen to ideas and how you respond to them. And one of the things we found, there was a clear difference between the high-performing, you know, small and large companies in this regard and the low-performing ones, was that before an idea was implemented, they put a step in the process where they took the time to discuss it. So if I have an idea, we have a meeting, we talk it out with more people, we don't just throw it in a suggestion box and have one person look at it. So the idea is critiqued and thought out and more data is brought in and people from different functions look at it. So you actually by exposing yourself to mistakes, you know, in the conceptual level, meaning just talking about it, you save yourself the real world mistakes down the road. You know what I mean? It's mm-hmm. easier to implement. It's a stronger idea. So this notion of little bitty corrections, I think a good process can actually make those safer, as well as just can make that whole process safer than perhaps we're communicating by just saying you're going to trip up a lot and have to pick yourself up. It's not always like that in practice, because if there's free discussion of these things, a lot of things get worked out before you make the real mistake.
There are so many things that we have yet to learn, and it's not reasonable to assume that we'll learn those without mistakes, is it?
No, it's not. But sometimes one person will have a piece of the puzzle and another person won't. And if mm-hmm. you implement this idea, there'll be a problem with a certain class of customers. And
right.
the person who wanted it didn't know that. So now the person who knew that says, you know, there'll be a problem. So you fix up the idea a bit. So you can minimize your exposure to real serious mistakes by discussion. And the little bitty corrections are very valuable on top of that. But
Dean,
go ahead.
I got to wrap it up. Dean, you want to give us a website?
Website is very easy to remember. www.ideasarefree. That's one word.
Right.
ideasarefree.com.
Check it out. The book's available wherever books are sold. Thanks, Alan Robinson, Dean Schroeder. Good job today. We'll see you next time.
You bet.
Okay.
See you
Bye.
Guys. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Don't forget Giovanni Cortolo and Stephen Covey in the next hour. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.